If I asked you what you miss the most about this particular Easter, I bet you and I would have some of the same answers. I miss seeing everyone dressed in their Easter best. I might have to take this hat off soon. It's a little hurting my ears. I remember the excitement of picking out my Easter dress and seeing what the Easter bunny had put in my brother's and my Easter baskets. We used the same ones every year, and I actually still have mine, and I brought it to show you. It's a little faded. It's very plastic, so it's lasted a long time. But this is my Easter basket that I've had since I was a child. Some of you have shared with me memories of Easter hats and pretty white gloves for the girls, ties and new shoes that might have been a little too tight or maybe even a little slippery on the bottom for the boys. I remember the boys in our church, you know, we had a floor similar to the fellowship hall here. They would run and try and slide in their new shoes before their parents could catch them. We think about family meals with ham or lamb or crown rib or beef roasts. We remember the kids' table with brightly colored eggs that we had dyed ourselves. We remember Easter egg hunts with candy and prizes. And speaking of prizes, I have something else to show you. I have here a jar of jelly beans. They're all different colors and flavors and sizes because I brought different brands. And just for fun, I'm going to invite you to guess how many jelly beans there are. So you can put your comments in the, or put your guess in the comments, or email me by midnight tonight, and the closest guess will get a prize. So I'm not sure where to put these so you can still see them. Set them up here. That works. All right. So be sure to put your guess for how many jelly beans are in the jar. What else do we think about when we think of Easter? I think about church, about how the seats are always filled with generations of family, family coming to visit, kids sharing their memories of this church with the grandkids. And look at all these flowers. I wish there was such a thing as smell-o-vision so that you could appreciate the perfume in this sanctuary. And while all these things are wonderful and deeply missed right now, none of them, if you think about it, were present for the very first Easter Sunday. Shoot, Jesus was buried naked, wrapped in linen, and according to the Gospel of John, must have found some gardening clothes to wear since Mary mistook him for the gardener. No fancy Easter clothes for him. Only the angels were glowing white this time. Remember the transfiguration when Jesus' clothes shone? No family for him, no fancy meals. He was found first by Mary of Magdala, and probably the other Mary was the sister of Lazarus, depending on which gospel writer you ask. But Matthew probably would have said, if it was his mother, would have probably said, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, right? So not his mom and dad, not his brothers or sisters. The very first meal we hear about him eating will come later in this Easter season when he eats some fish to prove that he's really alive, or maybe breaks simple bread with the disciples he found on the road to Emmaus. The first Easter was filled with fear and confusion, with small enclaves of people behind locked doors. And they all had to ask themselves, what does this mean? Can it be true? Well, during this pandemic, we've been asked to consider what is essential in our daily lives? Are there essential jobs, essential workers, essential goods that we need? What is essential? And so why not ask ourselves about what is essential about the Easter season? What does the resurrection of Jesus tell us about God? What did the resurrection mean for the first disciples, men and women? And what does the resurrection mean for us today? I would say first and foremost, the resurrection tells us that our God can conquer any fear that we might have. That God is willing to go through humiliation and suffering and pain and even death in order to be in relationship with us. That God is good, peace-loving, all-forgiving. Remember the men crucified alongside Jesus and his words, the words that hang on our Lenten banner, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Our God is all loving. Well, what did the resurrection mean for the first disciples? Considering they thought the Messiah had just been killed, that they had just lost their rabbi, teacher, mentor, guide, beloved friend, they thought their revolution was over. They thought it was done. They were being hunted by the authorities. They thought Jesus had come to conquer and overthrow. Seeing Jesus alive meant that they had hope once again, that all was not lost, that the impossible was possible with God, that Jesus kept his promises, all of them. It meant that much of what they thought Jesus meant in his teachings over the last 3 years was wrong. It meant they needed to reimagine what the Messiah was really sent to accomplish. It meant they had to step up their game and start proclaiming the new truth they had learned. So what does the resurrection mean for us? Well, in the words of author and pastor Nadia Boltz-Weber, Reverend Nadia Boltz-Weber, it means that, quote, God continues to reach into the graves we dig for ourselves and pull us out, giving us new life in ways both dramatic and small, end quote. It means that we are loved and forgiven too. It means that Jesus' promises and teachings are for us. It means that God walks with us through all of our times of trouble and fear as well. It means that no matter how much humiliation or pain we suffer in our own lives, God understands and can carry us through. It means that no matter what deep, dark hole we might find ourselves struggling through, we can always find hope and joy and love. We always have something to be grateful for. We always have something to celebrate and to share with others. It means we are being called to step up our game and start proclaiming this truth that we have found. New life can start in any moment. It can happen over and over and over again, in big ways and small. Resurrection is happening all around us because God so loved the world. You know what is essential for you. You know what has become an inconvenience and what is truly a problem. The gift of resurrection is knowing that God is in the problems too, that faith is essential, that hope is essential. That love is essential. And that we are called to proclaim this good news from our rooftops, our porches, our telephones, our Facebook pages, our tweets, and any other tool we have at our disposal. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.